This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hi, good evening, nice to be here. Always a pleasure. Never a chore, I tells you. Live and direct, my name is Vinny White. I'm from the United Kingdom of England, and I've been here for 8 years. I do a radio show every week at this time from 9 through till 10, here on News Talk 1010, the radio station which is arguably, I would say, factually, the best talk station in the world. If you don't agree, what are you doing here? You must like us a little bit. Unless it's some sort of bizarre, strange relationship. Is it some sort of radio Stockholm syndrome? We do hope not. I want it to be out of pure pleasure and joy that you join us, and if ever you get the opportunity, you can always download us. Not all of us, but you can download most of us. VinnyWhite.co.uk for the podcast. But, you know, you don't have to do that if you're listening right here, right now, because you're already doing it. Okay, how are you? Is everything okay? And did you go out last night? I can't believe the Halloween stuff started already. It's like, when did it turn into a week-long thing? Because that's what it is now. Halloween's not till Thursday. There was people wandering around dressed as zombies on Friday. Or that might just be the street I live on. It's very peculiar, Parkdale. Very peculiar. Parkdale, by the way, if you're not familiar with that area of Toronto, is the weirdest area in Toronto in that it's absolutely amazingly cool and hipster and down and out and absolutely not incredibly cool. I think I fall into the last category firmly. Firmly into that category. I did try to be a hipster once. Doesn't work. The beard doesn't work on me. The accent's all wrong. Can't do it. Just not cool for cats. Never have been. You can text this show on 71010. You can phone the show on 416-872-1010. You can tweet the show on Vinny White, V-I-N-N-E-Y, White. You can Facebook the show on Vinny White. You can come round. Have a cup of tea. Elliot will look after you. Just try and come round during the break, or it's very difficult to let you in. Just pop by. Do you want a cuppa? We'll roll out the rug. It's that kind of an informal environment. We want you in the place. So I went out for Halloween last night. I'm going to the UK tomorrow just to see some family and stuff. I haven't been there for quite a long time. And so my big Halloween night, and my only Halloween night, because we don't really do it in the UK, was last night. You know, we do it in the UK, but it's like, it's not like you do it. My God, what is wrong with you people? It's not Halloween, it's an excuse to look like sluts. You saucy sausages, the lot of you. I went to a Halloween party last night, I thought I'd walked into a brothel. And then I remembered that I wouldn't know what that's like. Oh, backpedal. I did. First of all, I'd like to moan about the price. I feel like that's the normal theme of this show. I say I went out, moan about the price, and then do exactly the same thing the next week until slowly and painfully I exhaust all my financial contributions to my RSPs by drinking beer. But that's exactly what I'm going to do this week. Halloween party. First of all, it was a place on Queen. I've forgotten the name of it. If you were with me, can you text me? Because I can't remember where it was. It's that sort of short-term memory alliance that we rely on nowadays. I would Google it, but I don't even know what to Google. It was a private room upstairs, 6 floors up. It's on the tip of my tongue. Tell you what, it's a good job this isn't live radio. How embarrassing would that be? The whole story pivots on this place, and I can't remember what it's called. Oh, well, I did tell you it would be slapdash, and if I didn't, now you know. Anyway, so I went to this place. It'll come to me in a minute via text. And it was all right. It was all right. First of all, it's $30 to get in, and you have to buy the tickets a couple of days in advance. All right? It's on Queen Street, as I say. Quite hipstery. It's knocking on Parkdale's door, so it's, you know, quite groovy and down with the kids in that area. And $30 online, plus a $4 online booking fee. Right. There's no such thing as an online booking fee. The reason that you shouldn't have to pay is because you're booking the bloody thing online. Right? If I phoned up and used a member of staff and exhausted their you know, time, I would expect to pay for it. Online booking fee. I've got a text here. It says I was at the Burrows. You know where that is? All right. I'm glad we went through that. The Burrows is, as I say, it's on Queen. So, $30 plus a $4 booking fee. Right. Seems a lot. Obviously, I'm going to get a few free drinks for that. Obviously. Right? Turn up there, 5 flights of stairs, no elevator. I'm not an old man, but let's be honest, I'm not as sprightly as I used to be. Get up there, no free drink. Then you have to buy, there's some weird thing in Ontario, you can't possibly be trusted with an alcohol licence. So the way that they do it here is if you get an alcohol licence, you can't possibly be trusted to buy a physical beer with money. That would be ludicrous. So you have to employ extra people to sell beer tokens, right, which can be anything from a raffle ticket to a, I don't know, cheese baguette, whatever you want. But nonetheless, you buy those tokens and then you go to the bar. So a completely pointless extra step that provides absolutely no sense to me. I'm sure there's some logic in it. Oh, I bet it's that you have to, the bar staff have to have training, do they? To have, to know what drunk people look like. Because I tell you what, without that training, there's no way a barman would ever know what a drunk person looks like. Because if there's one thing that doesn't go on much in the bar industry, it's drinking. Hate it. Most bar staff, teetotal. Don't touch it, don't they? So I go in this place. I'm dressed as a beaver. I actually bought the costume a few years ago when I became a Canadian citizen. It didn't get given to me by the government. I thought it would. I did try to haggle, but they just wouldn't give in. So I go dressed as a beaver. Difficult costume because it's ever so hot, and it was hot in there. I go to get these beer tokens. Right, I would like you to come up with a figure in your brain on how much you think a can of Pabst beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon, I believe the cheapest of all beers, is up there with, you know, Laker and some of the really cheap ones. So that was the only beer available, not one that I really like. You know, I wasn't expecting Stella, but it would be nice. I'd like you to get a figure in your brain on how much one can of Pabst Blue Ribbon was. Have you got a figure? Okay, you might want to double that, because it was $7.50 for a can of beer, second-rate beer. You got a tip on that? Well, you should. I did. So that was that. $7.50 a drink. Oh, well, you could make it cheaper, of course. You could have a plastic cup of gin and tonic for $7.50. The gin measured out by a man who presumably has been spending his entire life handling explosives. I think the term is a pathetic dribble. Yeah. So that's $7.50. So a lot of money. Now, I say all this with, my usual moan and negative nature. And I hate to sound like a cantankerous old bastard, but the fact is I had a great time. It was fantastic. People were there, smiling, happy, all kinds of stuff going on. Great costumes, good effort, Canada. Very impressed in general. But incredibly saucy. Gosh. I mean, there are women in there who might as well have just popped on a pair of underpants and a bra. I mean, I say that because that's exactly what they did. I mean, one must have been, I presume she was just dressed as... I don't know what the polite term for that is. A lady of the evening, perhaps. But an enormous bosom. There was many bar wenches. Is that? I don't know if that's a politically correct term, but that, you know, the big sort of buxom medieval looking things, that was going on. It got a bit messy. God knows how. I can only assume people had smuggled their own alcohol in, because you couldn't possibly afford to get drunk at those prices. But it did get a bit messy. I saw a fight between the Doctor from Back to the Future and a king. Yeah. I don't know if it might have been Henry VIII, but I'm not sure. Henry VIII and Doc from Back to the Future. And I suddenly realised I was a bit left wing, because I just went straight for the Doc. You know, always going for the underclass. You know, not the ruling elite. And I don't know what it was about. And I don't know whose fault it was, but I really didn't want the king to win. He didn't. He took quite a good punching. So that was nice. And then, of course, there were all kinds of costumes. I won't bore you with the range, but there was probably the best part of 500 people there. And I walked in on the toilet. Someone was on the toilet. I don't know if they meant to lock the door and couldn't find the lock, or if they were too drunk. But I walked in on a French mime artist having a poo. Can't say I've ever done that before. He said, sorry. Now, I thought, you've broken character there, haven't you? If you're going to be a mime artist, you should you should see it through. You know, pretend to rub your eyes or something. Cry a solitary tear, as if to say, I feel so much shame for not locking the door. Anyway, he said, I'm sorry, and I walked out. He might have been, in retrospect, he might have been dressed as Tron. I don't know, because... I didn't hang around. When you walk, I hate that. What do you do, by the way? 7-10-10 if you have a solution. What do you do when you walk into someone on the toilet? I don't know what you do, because I always feel the guilty one. And I don't know why, because it's not my fault. You know what I mean? So that's that. First text in, Pabst Blue Ribbon is the official beer of hipsterdom. That would explain it, wouldn't it? Yeah. I tell you what, this whole hipster thing, it's genius. I reckon I've got this theory that the whole hipster movement has been started by Apple. Because if you look at it, it's very similar. Most of the stuff that they drink and wear is cheap to make, but they pay loads more for it. And there's no surprise that hipsters buy Apple, right? So that's what I'm thinking. Moving on to Apple, actually, rather beautifully. What a segue. Genius. It's like I'm professional. Apple have launched their new iPhone. I'm a bit late on this because, I know why. I don't care. It's called the 5S. I don't know what it does. It's because they've done the 5, and then they thought, oh, you know what? It's going to be a while till we do the 6. And there's hipsters out there with money. So why don't we pop a letter behind it? S for, I don't know, sport? Has it got a stripe? I don't know. And maybe that's it. And then, of course, there's the Apple iPhone C. C for crap. No, C for colour. C for colour. Or, I don't know why there isn't the one. The Apple iPhone R. What's that for? Rip off. Right. Just be honest. So that's that. Well done. We like the Apple products. We just don't know why they're quite so expensive. And Apple launched this week. This one. I actually had to look at this twice. Apple launched the iPad Air this week. Now, I don't know about you, but as an iPad user, I find them so cumbersome. I'm always wheeling mine around in a wheelbarrow, thinking, wouldn't it be great if this minute, overpriced tablet, the Fisher Price of computing, was a little bit lighter? You know, wouldn't it be great? Because I'm getting a bad back. And so they did. They've brought out the Apple iPad Air. Well, it's just a mishmash now, isn't it? Be the phone Air, the Pro phone, laptop Air, book, whizzy wonk. I'm going to copyright that before they run off with it. Don't you dare. Who's the man at the top now, Elliot? I always forget.
Tim something.
Yeah, sorry. It's all right. Anyway, I'm going to put that to Tim something. The Apple Wazzy Wink. Actually, it sounds like the last name of the guy that came up with some of their products. So that's Apple. And if you think that's rather unremarkable in that they're just bringing out new products that are overpriced, that look like the old ones, I have new news, ladies and gentlemen. The Mac Pro is about to come out. And not the MacBook Pro, this is the Mac Pro. Now, for those graphic designers, video editors, and people with far too much money that know what a Mac Pro is, it's what used to be the big box, yeah? So the big, absolutely rapido, top banana, very big bananas, very big bananas Apple, for want of a better term. And so it's out. Well, it's out in December, which seems weird because isn't there Christmas in, isn't it? It's funny. What a coincidence. Anyway, it's out in December, the Mac Pro, as expected. Apple took the wraps off its long-awaited Mac Pro on Tuesday. It's a sleek, shiny black cylindrical design. Yes. Looks a bit like a small toilet with heavy-duty... That's not how they describe it. The new Apple toilet. iToilet. Yeah, sleek, shiny, cylindrical design, heavy-duty computing power, immediately made the device an attractive option with an incredibly low-cost price. All right, the starting price for a Mac Pro, which I believe, by the way, doesn't ship with a keyboard or a screen, so we're talking about the bare bones of computing here, very nice-looking device, well done, Apple. I'd like you to come up with a figure in your brain for the starting price for the Mac Pro. A cylindrical, all-singing, all-dancing, very powerful computer that comes out in December. Do bear in mind the price of gigabytes of memory tends to halve every 18 months, and computers have never been able to be made so cheap, what with globalization and Apple's questionable record of assembling products in China. However, in their defense, this is assembled in the United States of America. So I'd like you to just think about that, and I'd like you to think of, you know, how much is a PC, right? So, got the figure? Okay. The starting price before tax in Canada for the Mac Pro, a computer without a screen, keyboard or mouse, you'll have to buy all them separately, is $3,100. Get in. I'll have six. Why not? I'll just use them as a paperweight. It'll make a cracking ashtray. Cylindrical. It works. Or a garbage can. Which, by the way, is probably what it'll be in about 18 months' time. So that's that. Someone texted in, S is for sucker. Nice. Much better. I should have thought of that myself. And that's the entry-level Mac Pro. You can buy the all-singing, all-dancing one, which, I don't know, will presumably give you some sort of oral sex. $4,200 for a computer. I'm laughing because I might cry. That's why. So there you are. Now then, I'm going to give you an update on a story last week. And I think I'm just going to have a quick coughing fit. Hang on. I've still got a slight cold. It's just been hanging around like a fart in an elevator. It won't go away. So annoying. And it's a little bit like an old man cough. Caught myself doing it the other day. One of these. I don't smoke. I don't know, but I've just developed a smoker's cough, apparently. So sorry about that. Okay, excuse me. Right, I wanted to talk to you about something that we talked about briefly last week. Stupid rock pushing people. Now, Elliot, if you wouldn't mind getting the clip ready again. Two Boy Scout leaders who filmed themselves toppling an ancient rock formation in a Utah state park have been removed from their posts by the Boy Scouts of America and face possible criminal charges for their actions at Goblin State Valley Park. The Scouts Utah National Parks Council said the men violated the organization's Leave No Trace policy in the park in a video posted by Dave Hall to his Facebook page before it went viral. Glenn Taylor, one of the scout leaders, can be seen pushing over the top boulder of a mushroom-like formation. Now, if you're listening to this in the United States of America, I know I often give you a bashing, and I know that I love many of you dearly, but this is the sort of tomfoolery, hoopla, hyper-pumped, over-Americanized idiocy that might make you feel a bit embarrassed.
Wiggle it just a little bit. Yeah! We have now modified Goblin Valley.
Yeah.
A new Goblin Valley exists with this boulder down here at the bottom.
Woo! Yeah, the boulder down there at the bottom that they're referring to is somewhat of a... what's the word I'm looking for when there's only one of them? Let's just use the word unique. It was going to be far more impressive than that. It is a unique anomaly. That's the word I'm looking for. Anomaly, remember it. Anomaly. And it's 20 million years it took to form that rock that they pushed over. And you could say, yeah, well, it's only a rock. Yeah, well, what are they doing? Now, I told you about this last week, and there's new news. Taylor, who was seen pushing over the large boulder in the video and then celebrating and flexing. Oh, and doing the mandatory high five, of course. Well, he's not that clever, old Taylor, because he'd filed a personal injury suit last month over a car crash that he had a few years ago that had left him debilitated and with great pain and suffering, disability, impairment and loss of joy of life. And he won. This led to an awkward encounter. As the news asked him about the video, he said, the reporter in question said, "You don't seem very debilitated." And he said, "You don't know how hard I pushed." "It looked like you were pushing pretty hard," said the reporter. "You don't have my authority to put this online. You don't have my authority to put this on the news." Well, it looks like this guy's not only being kicked out of the Scouts, he's also going to face criminal charges. And, of course, he'll be back in court for being a bit of a muppet. Hmm? So that's that. And it links me beautifully to a rather interesting story I saw this week. Forgive me from jumping from country to country, but there is somewhat of a link here about Stonehenge. Stonehenge, of course, the ancient burial ground in southern England, not far from where I'm from, actually, and unless you think I'm from Australia, which absolutely everyone does. And another thing, last night, dressed as a beaver, everyone thought I was faking the accent. Yeah, and I mean, I understand that this is a time of visual tomfoolery and lies, I suppose, but why would I dress like a beaver and then talk in an English accent? I had a really surreal moment when I spoke to a Canadian dressed as the Queen of England. And I was like, something's wrong with this picture. Anywho, Stonehenge. I'm from near there. It's the age-old... there's an age-old secret of why Stonehenge was built. And it looks like it can now be revealed. Because for many... Stonehenge is 5,000 years old. Possibly 6. No one's entirely sure. And although they know that this is an ancient burial ground, they don't know how it got there, because it was built in an ice age. Well, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm sure you've been up all night on this, a small series of shallow pools close to Stonehenge was unveiled this week. They've remained undisturbed for tens of thousands of years, hidden in a private estate surrounded by trees. The inconspicuous plot, which sits alongside Stonehenge and the rather brutal road that they built through it, is fed by a string which keeps the pools warm at a constant 11 degrees, even in the depths of winter. And they're assessing now that even if it was to snow, or even if there was an ice age, this water source would change everything. So, what is the meaning of Stonehenge? Well, it's answered. Or is it? Because there are more questions. What is the actual age, and how did they drag those rocks from what they think might be 65 miles away? On rollers? From Wales? And why did they make it so grand? Well, if it's been keeping you up all night, then this one is for you. What's the meaning of Stonehenge?
My life is so successful. I got everything a man could ever need. Got $1,000 haircut, and I even have a talk show on TV. And I know I should be happy, but instead, there's a question I can't get out of my head. What's the meaning of Stonehenge? It's killing me that no one knows why it was built 5,000 years ago. Why did they build the Stonehenge? How could they raise the stone so high, completely without the technology? We have to die. When I meet for jalapenos, calamari and prosciutto, I'm the king. My wife applauds me in the kitchen when I tell her all I bought is from the local store. And when the kids have gone to bed, we're all alone. She gives me a smile, then she plays with my boots. Stonehenge, I think about it when I dream. The biggest heads that I have ever seen. What's the purpose of Stonehenge? A giant granite birthday cake, or a prison far too easy to escape. yeah, I would give all I had to give.
Would you give him your car?
Mm, are you kidding me? Of course I would have given the car.
What car do you drive?
Drive a Civic, drive a Civic, drive a Civic.
A car you can't drive.
Never mind the car, let's talk about the hinge.
What hinge is that again?
It's the Stonehenge, it's the Stonehenge. Stonehenge.
What does it mean? Love it. Okay, you're listening to News Talk 1010. My name is Vinny White, and I'll be back in a minute with some more stuff.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
9:37 live from Toronto. My name is Vinny. Nice to be here at Young & St Clair, working in the warm, comforting bosom of the fine radio studio that is News Talk 1010. Someone called in, and they didn't want to go on air. But their question was this: why are you such a bad dancer? Now, I presume that they were referring to the webcam, which I always forget is on. One of these days, it's really going to catch me out doing something rather inappropriate. And actually, that gives the impression that I do this show naked. No, let's move on. It's just something that I've never been good at, is the answer. I don't know what it is. Last night, dressed as a beaver, I was dancing, and someone I've never met came up to me, a Rubik's Cube, actually, and said, I've just got to let you know that I think you're one of the worst dancers I've ever seen. I thought that was a bit rich, coming from a Rubik's Cube, because the manoeuvrability of the cube was questionable. And I don't think the cube herself was a very good dancer. But apparently I'm just a terrible dancer. Elton John wrote a song after me, actually. Terrible dancer. He got a bit confused when he was writing it. But so that's that. Thanks for the compliments. Do ask me more questions about what else I'm crap at. On 71010 is the text number. You can text anything. 416-872-1010 is the phone number as well. And there's lots of people interacting on Facebook, which is always nice. Someone said, I think Vinny's a good dancer. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mother. I wanted to talk about failed jokes and what you do in that situation. First one, I made a joke this week. I gave the girl in Shoppers Drug Mart $100 bill, and she said, that's too big, sir. And I thought, there's no way I can leave that. So I said, that's not a compliment I'm used to. And she said, and you know when this happens, they say, excuse me? And it's not because they were, you know, they're distressed by the inappropriate nature of your comment, it's because they don't understand it. Now, I understand that if you're working at Shoppers Drug Mart, you're probably not poised ready for some, well, let's be honest, amateur comedian to come in and have a bash. But don't make me repeat it. So I said, oh, nothing. She said, no, you said something. I said, it was about the $100 bill. I said, it's not a compliment I'm used to. She went, what do you mean? I said, well, you said that's too big, sir. And I said, it's not a compliment I'm used to. And she said, I don't understand. And I said, well, forget it. She said, explain it to me. I said, it's gone. It's gone. This joke, if ever there was any point that was remotely funny, it's in a taxi and it's near Mississauga right now. It's gone. The moment's gone. But I hate that when people make you feel guilty when you've tried to be funny. And that annoys me. And that happened to me twice this week. The other time, I was out for a drink with a girl. Yeah, me. Deal with it. Yeah. Didn't go very well at all. And I told her, and this is true, and I think if you don't find this funny, I can never see you again. Right? I told her something that had happened to me that day. And as I say, this isn't a joke. It's just true. I told her that earlier that day, I'd eaten in a French restaurant. True. And it's on Queen. I think it's called La Palette. It's very good. I do recommend it. And I noticed on their menu, I didn't order it, but I noticed on their menu they had a very interesting dish. Now, we're all used to the surf and turf. Well, in this French restaurant, they actually serve horse and duck as a combo, and they've called it quack and track. Quack and track.
cracking track. That's comedy gold. It doesn't get better than that. There's no joke that's funnier than that. So I tell her this. I couldn't wait to tell her. I was so excited. And she went, stupid. Oh, I was destroyed. I didn't know what to do with myself. So my question to you is, have you got any policies that you can suggest to me on what to do when jokes fail? And believe me, it happens to me every bloody day. So if you can help me, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Do you move on? Do you recycle it? Do you try and make them feel stupid? Is there something I can do? 416-872-1010, if you can help me in any way. Or perhaps you could just tell me some jokes that are A, funny, and B, people get. So there you go. I won't be seeing her again. If you don't like, that's a good filter, isn't it? If you don't like quack and track, if you don't think that's funny, never going to see you again. I'm going to put that with my other filters. If you don't know the capital of Italy, and you don't find quack and track funny. Those two things. You're not in the Vinny Club. Lots of people running off to Google Maps right now. Think of the empire. There you go. Right. Disparity. Now, not everyone likes him here in North America, but I do. Russell Brand. You probably saw the viral video that went out this week. And if you didn't, we're going to play a bit in a minute. I'm really interested in this because it's a funny guy doing a serious topic. And it might have just made a change in the world. If you don't know what I'm talking about the comedian Russell Brand, who, hang on, I'm going to take this call very quickly, just before we move on, because otherwise, much like my jokes, it will be lost in the moment. Hello, my friend.
Vinny, how are you, man?
I'm all right, mate.
Good. Listen, this is a joke that I do at my neighborhood gas station. I pay with my debit card, and when the transaction is done, I don't pull the card out, and the girl says, "You can't pull it now." I say, "I can't, they just finished."
I'm going to use that. I'll probably get arrested, but I'm going to use that.
Feel free, my friend. No license on that. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot, mate. There you go. You can have that for free. You heard it here on The Vinnie White Show. Be in the know with The Vinnie White Show. Okay, so I was going to talk about disparity. Now, if you aren't aware of who Russell Brand is, he did the video, the VMAs awards and various other things. He's been very controversial. I think he gained some more stardom by marrying briefly in the Hollywood, you know, in Hollywood's eyes, it was probably a solid foundation of marriage. But he married Katy Perry, and I don't know what went wrong there, but something did. He's never revealed it. And they've now broken up. He's a man that's had a troubled past. He's had drug addictions, and he has multiple personality disorders. In his own book, My Bookie Work, he comes quite clean about how he's had a very difficult upbringing. And he's, at least formally, been very much an attention whore. And I would say still now. But nowadays, people are starting to take him more seriously. Well, it turns out that he's going to be writing for a reasonably savvy political magazine in the United Kingdom. And he was on with Jeremy Paxman. Now, if you're probably not aware of who Jeremy Paxman is, and you're highly forgiven, I'm sure you're up all night worrying that I was not going to forgive you. Jeremy Paxman is a very much a bullying journalist in the United Kingdom. I love him. And so it was great to see Jeremy Paxman and Russell Brand go together, and this is what happened.
Russell Brand, who are you to edit a political magazine?
Well, I suppose like a person who's been politely asked by an attractive woman. I don't know what the typical criteria is. I don't know many people that edit political magazines. Boris, he used to do one, didn't he? So I'm a person with crazy hair, quite a good sense of humour. Don't know much about politics. I'm ideal.
But is it true you don't even vote?
Yeah, no, I don't vote.
Well, how do you have any authority to talk about politics, then?
Well, I don't get my authority from this pre-existing paradigm, which is quite narrow and only serves a few people. I look elsewhere for alternatives that might be of service to humanity. Alternate means, alternate political systems.
They being?
Well, I've not invented it yet, Jeremy. I had to do a magazine last week. I've had a lot on my plate. But I say, but here's the thing that it shouldn't do. Shouldn't destroy the planet. Shouldn't create massive economic disparity. Shouldn't ignore the needs of the people. The burden of proof is on the people with the power, not people like doing a magazine.
How do you imagine the people get power?
Well, I imagine there are sort of hierarchical systems that have been preserved through generations.
They get power by being voted in.
Well, you
that's
say that, Jeremy, but
you can't even be asked to vote.
It's quite a narrow prescriptive parameter that changes within the...
In a democracy, that's how it works.
Well, I don't think it's working very well, Jeremy, given that the planet is being destroyed, given that there is economic disparity of a huge degree. What are you saying? There's no alternative.
No, I'm
just
not saying
system.
That. I'm saying if you Brilliant. Can't be asked to vote, why should we be asked to listen to your political point of view?
You don't have to listen to my political point of view, but it's not that I'm not voting out of apathy. I'm not voting out of absolute indifference and weariness and exhaustion from the lies, treachery, deceit of the political class that has been going on for generations now, and which has now reached fever pitch, where we have a disenfranchised, disillusioned, despondent underclass that are not being represented by that political system. So voting for it is tacit complicity with that system, and that's not something I'm offering up.
Well, why don't you change it then?
I'm trying to.
Well, why don't you start by voting?
I don't think it works. People have voted already, and that's what's created the current paradigm.
When did you last vote?
Never.
You've never, ever voted?
No. Do you think that's really bad?
So you struck an attitude, what, before the age of 18?
Well, I was busy being a drug addict at that point because I come from the kind of social conditions that are exacerbated by an indifferent system that really just administrates for large corporations and ignores the population that it was voted in to serve.
You're blaming the political class of the fact you had a drug problem?
No. I'm saying I was part of a social and economic class that is underserved by the current political system, and drug addiction is one of the problems it creates when you have huge, underserved, impoverished populations. People get drug problems and also don't feel like they want to engage with the current political system.
Go on, just play that next
bit. It makes no difference. They see that they're not served.
Of course it doesn't work for them if they don't bother to vote.
Jeremy, my darling, I'm not saying that the apathy doesn't come from us, the people. The apathy comes from the politicians. They are apathetic to our needs. They're only interested in servicing the needs of corporations. Look at what... Ain't the Tories going to court and to taking the EU to court because they're trying to curtail bank bonuses? Is that what's happening at the moment in our country?
And the answer, of course, to that is yes. But the bigger issue here is that this is a global problem. Disparity and... What Russell Brand is attempting, perhaps a little bit ambitiously, is at least some form of revolution. Well, what happens really interestingly later on in this interview, and by the way, you're listening to News Talk 1010, my name's Vinnie White, we're just talking about this phenomenal interview that's now had millions and millions of hits, I believe somewhere in the region of, I think it's 26 million so far, and that's going up on a daily basis, because it got a bit more heated. And then this happened.
You are a very trivial man.
What do you think? I am trivial?
Yes.
A minute ago, you were having a go at me because I want a revolution. Now
no,
I'm trivial.
I'm not having a go at you because you want a revolution. Many people want a revolution, but I'm asking you what it would be like.
Well, I think what it won't be like is a huge disparity between rich and poor, where 300 Americans have the same amount of wealth as the 85 million poorest Americans, where there is an exploited and underserved underclass that are being continually ignored, where welfare is slashed while Cameron and Osborne go to court to defend the rights of bankers to continue receiving their bonuses.
What's the scheme? That's all I'm asking. What's the scheme? You talk vaguely about revolution. What is it?
I think a socialist egalitarian system based on the massive redistribution of wealth, heavy taxation of corporations and massive responsibility for energy companies and any company that's exploiting the environment, I think they should be... I think the very concept of profit should be hugely reduced. Okay. David Cameron says profit isn't a dirty word. I say profit is a filthy word, because wherever there is profit, there is also deficit. And this system currently doesn't address these ideas. And so why would anyone vote for it? Why would anyone be interested in it?
Who would levy these taxes?
I think we do need to, there needs to be a centralised administrative system, but built on...
There needs to be a government.
Well, maybe call it something else. Call them, the admin bods, right. So they don't get
ahead of themselves. And how would they be chosen?
Jeremy, don't ask me to sit here in an interview with you in a bloody hotel room and devise a global utopian system. I'm merely pointing out that
You're calling for revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm calling for change. I'm calling for genuine alternatives. I say when there is a genuine alternative, a genuine option, then vote for that. But until then, don't bother. Why pretend? Why be complicit in this ridiculous illusion?
Because by the time somebody comes along, you might think it worth voting for. It may be too late.
I don't think so, because the time is now. These movements are already occurring. It's happening everywhere. We're in a time where communication is instantaneous, and there are communities all over the world. The Occupy movement made a difference, even if only in that it introduced to the popular public lexicon the idea of the 1% versus the 99%. People, for the first time in a generation, are aware of massive corporate and economic exploitation. These things are not nonsense, and these subjects are not being addressed. No one's doing anything about tax havens. No one's doing anything about the political affiliations and financial affiliations of the Conservative Party. So until people start addressing things that are actually real, why wouldn't I be facetious? Why would I take it seriously? Why would I encourage a constituency of young people that are absolutely indifferent to vote? Why would we? Aren't you bored? Aren't you more bored than anyone? Ain't you been talking to them year after year, listening to their lies, their nonsense? Then it's this one gets in, then it's that one get in. But this problem continues. Why are we going to continue to contribute to this facade?
I'm surprised you can be facetious when you're that angry about it.
Yeah, I am angry. I am angry. Because for me, it's real. Because for me, it's not just some peripheral thing that I turn up once in a while to a church fate for. For me, this is what I come from. This is what I care about.
Do you see any hope?
Remember that? Yeah, totally. There's going to be a revolution. It's totally going to happen. I think not only I ain't got a flicker of doubt. This is the end. This is time to wake up. I remember I see you in that programme where you look at your ancestors and you saw that while your grandmother had to brass herself or got f***ed over by the aristocrats who ran her gaff, you cried because you knew that it was unfair and unjust. And that was, what was that, a century ago? That's happening to people now. I just come from a woman who's being treated like that. I've just been talking to a woman today who's being treated like that. So if we can engage that feeling, instead of some moment of lachrymose sentimentality trotted out on the TV for people to pour over emotional porn, if we can engage that feeling and change things, why wouldn't we? Why is that naive? Why is that not my right because I'm an actor? I mean, I've taken the right. I don't need the right from you. I don't need the right from anybody. I'm taking it.
And so it was. The interview concluded at that point. It got more heated, as you probably noticed there, towards the end of the interview. And I wanted to ask you what you thought. 416-872-1010. You could say that this is, well, in fact, you'd have to say that this is a global problem. There are disparity issues that have come to light through the Occupy movement. But is it this guy's place to say? Do you think it's a reasonable point? Was it eloquently put and perhaps framed a difficult situation and possibly started some rapid change in a positive light? Or is this someone sticking his uneducated nose in to a problem that really shouldn't be his concern in any way and addressing it in a completely arse about face way if he doesn't vote? I'd like to hear your thoughts. 416-872-1010. We're just going to take a couple of calls on this. I'd be really interested. We'll start with Daniel. Hello.
Hi, Vinny. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for calling. I do appreciate it. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I'm, like I told your producer, I actually think that Russell Brand is a pretty funny guy. He seems to be have a lot of intellect. I think he's an intellectual person. I think he's well-read. I think he's well-spoken. I think sometimes he's too well-spoken for his own good. But I'll tell you my opinion. I mean, I'm in agreement with the interviewer. I think that if he doesn't vote or he's not part of the political process, he has no reason to say anything, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, that's part of the problem in this country is the fact that our voter turnout in most elections is under 40%. And then after the fact, people are complaining. So if you're not going to become part of the political process, then what is your mandate? The Occupy movement, what did they accomplish in the end? And part of the reason that they didn't accomplish much is because they had no plan. They were talking in vague terms, just like the interviewer said. Russell Brand talks in vague terms. He has grandiose ideas. But what is he actually saying? You know, I used to be a bigger fan of his until he started making political comments on a country that's near and dear to me, Israel, and talking about how the Israeli army are occupiers and aggressors without knowing all the facts, or have never even visited the country. You know, to me, that is someone who is talking just with a mouthful of ignorance, as opposed to being someone who's truly educated.
Thanks, Daniel. I really appreciate your call, and thanks a lot. I mean, that's interesting. Daniel raises a good point there, as much did Jeremy Paxman. Let's take another call on that in a moment, but first up, quick break. All right, I've got a lot of time, so I'm going to rush back really quickly. Just wanted to pick up on some of the calls we got in, some of the texts, just to balance it out. Russell Brand has this absolutely correct. He is also an amazing way to communicate his message. I don't know if he's going to get the revolution he wants, but at the end of the day, he is shining a light on the disparity that is happening around the world. And let's just leave you with this fact, because whether you side with him or not, CEOs in 1965 in the United States of America made 24 times more than the average production worker. CEOs, 1965, 24 times more than the average production worker. In 2009, they are made 185 times more. So you can't tell me that disparity is going in a very good direction. Over the last 30 years, wage inequality in the US has increased substantially and is now approaching the level pretty much there of the Great Depression. I wish we had more time. I really do. Hey, I'm off to England tomorrow. I won't be here next week. I'm just going to go home and see some family and stuff. I wish you nothing but a prosperous and wonderful Halloween period, and I shall be back in a couple of weeks. Take care. See you later.